Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
This morning is going by very, very quick. Had fun the last 3 hours. Looking forward to spending the last one with you here today. Lee Rogers, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ryan.
Well, I want to ask you about this situation with Tyler Chase. Does the name sound familiar? Tyler Chase is the former child star that they keep finding living on the streets, and they keep giving updates over the past couple of weeks on what's going on with Tyler Chase. Have you been following these headlines?
Not really, no.
Are you familiar with the situation? So the guy was on, I think it was a Nickelodeon or Disney show.
Okay.
And
that's
it was called
Ned's
Declassified. Right.
Okay.
Well, he was found on the streets, drug addict, and some other former Disney Nickelodeon stars came forward and said, okay, we're once child stars. We once also went through what you did. Went through times that were struggles, and now we're, you know, doing better. So they found him. They reached out to him. They're like, okay, let's get you cleaned up. We'll get you a motel room, and we'll try to get you through rehab because this drug addiction stuff ain't easy. So they get him a motel room, and there was reports that he trashed the motel room, but then I saw some videos of it, and it wasn't trash, so that was highly over-exaggerated. Yeah. But nonetheless, they get him in a rehab. He's there for a couple of days and to get like a medical evaluation, and then he leaves, and then the next day, he's shown smoking crack on the street again.
Yeah.
So you also have him unwilling to go through this process when so many different people are reaching out and trying to help him. That seems to be a common thread with a lot of people with addiction. And now the latest news story is people are trying to find him as if he has regained his celebrity through his drug addiction, and they want to go take videos with him to go see him as almost like a carnival sideshow.
Yeah,
this is where we're at right now with
him. Yeah, that's...
It's sad.
Yes, it is. It's sad. It's exploitive.
How do you get around that? Where you were once a celebrity, now living on the street, and people have an interest. You're back in the headlines. People are talking about you, but you really are not willing to give up your drug addicted life. You'd rather smoke crack on the street than go through rehab and try to clean your life up, no matter how many other people are trying to help. Is that just the sad reality of life sometimes? No matter what you do, sometimes you just literally can't help everybody.
Well, you can't, because they have to want the help. And that is so often is what the problem is with many of the homeless situation, the drug addicted. It's you know, the problem is you've made a choice and taken yourself down an avenue, many have. And that's something that is so hard to overcome. And few people, it seems like that few people are able to overcome it. I mean, if you look at all the, who knows, untold billions of dollars that insurance companies and private individuals and governments spend to try to rehabilitate people that are addicted to drugs. And it's just, for some, it's never going to make a difference. Some it does. Some it doesn't turn their lives around. And it's great. And we should always, you know, hope for that outcome and, you know, give it a try. But for many, it's just an endless cycle.
I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to point it at myself just for the sake of the argument. Am I just as bad as the people seeking him out when I read the news stories and I talk about it and I bring attention to what's going on? Am I just as bad as those seeking out trying to find him?
No, I don't think so, because I think it's what you're doing is pointing out the nasty social habit that some have about exploiting someone who is going through a bad time and trying to, you know, take selfies with them or whatever and say, hey, I found this person who used to be this Disney, you know, star or whatever. I think that at a certain level, we in society have to point out, and we in the media need to point out things that are just not good that some people are doing. And, you know, so that there's some shame to it, and maybe fewer people will be inclined to do that if we don't, you know, applaud it.
You know, it's also sad that in California, L.A., San Francisco, places like that, this is par for the course. There's so many instances of this, not necessarily child stars that were on TV shows, but people that are living out on the street and they'd rather, you know, smoke meth with through a crack pipe or whatever they're doing. Again, I don't know all my drug terminology, but they would rather do that than accept the help that where so many different people want to help you. And it's probably one of the reasons why you'll never solve homelessness, no matter how much money you throw at it.
Well, I mean, even scripturally, the poor will always be among you.
Yeah. And that's what people say. They say, if you can only take that $1 billion and, you know, Elon Musk is a billionaire. Yeah. He can, if he just gave a tenth of his net worth, then he'd be able to solve homelessness.
No.
And the answer is no. Because ultimately, I talk to experts and I talk to people that actually work with the homelessness, not ones that just, you know, try to go through the game of, you know, pretending.
Yeah.
And they basically say the same thing. They say, some people literally just want to live on the street and be left alone.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you give them help or not. They don't want to be under the control of someone else that tells them what to do in order to get the conditions of a roof over their head. So you'll never solve it because they're not going to do it. They're just, it's just practically speaking, it's impossible to get through to them.
Mm-hmm. Once again, it's because they don't want it.
Yeah,
they prefer that lifestyle of being, as I saw one of the media, local media here refer to it as unhoused.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, they unhoused. Yeah, they try to sugarcoat it or change the terminology. It doesn't actually change the problem. There's another story, and I saw this one on the New York Post. This is unrelated, but since we're in the mood of, you know, morbid, sad, depressing stories. So in Canada, there's an actress. Her name is Claire Brasseau. I think that's how you say her name, 48 years old. And she struggles with manic depression, anxiety disorder, substance abuse disorder, chronic suicidal thoughts, and other mental illnesses, they say, since her childhood. And she's known because she's an actress, and she is coming out and saying that she has now applied for medically assisted suicide to battle her long, crippling mental health issues. Canada is fighting her back. They do not want that. So she sued the government to allow for her to have assisted suicide medically. This is another depressing story. All of this, everything's depressing to me anymore. But she says she's tried the medications. Yeah. None of it works. Where do you think, how close do you think we are in the United States before we entertain the idea, kind of like the Kevorkians of the world, where it's where it's almost like in a strip mall and you walk in and it's like a service like anything else?
I'm hoping we're a long way from that. You know, listen, I understand that there are many that struggle, you know, with, you know, keeping going and making it forward in life because of mental health struggles. That's, you know, that's undeniable. But I'm hoping we're a long way from that. But, you know, sometimes when you see the way that certain political parties address certain social issues and medical issues like this, a change in leadership could make a big difference.
Yeah, I feel with all the different things that I didn't really think would happen in my lifetime, but here we are. You can't go to a red light without smelling weed from coming from some direction, particularly where I'm living up here. I don't know if it's different where you are, but it's a problem when we legalized all these different vices. You have the ability to gamble from your pocket and literally ruin your life through sports betting or any other type of betting. You're giving your money away because so many different types of drugs have become just basically ignored by laws. But as long as you're not dealing it, they seem to not have the resources to care if you're doing other things to yourself. We have all these other different abuses and things that go on. And, of course, drinking is just out of control. And what we find in today's world is that we have moved towards creating industries out of these things, and people are profiting. And if you can profit from it, it wouldn't surprise me in the next 20 years if we have strip malls where it's assisted suicide is one of the
vice industrial complex.
Yeah, I guess that's a great way to put it. The vice industrial complex is the way to do it. Sometimes you feel optimistic about the future and sometimes you don't, but I'll tell you one thing. As long as you have the ability to control what's going on in your own home without the government trying to force you. Unfortunately, some politicians, they want to, you know, make you a criminal as a parent if you don't follow along with the ideology of some of this woke garbage. as long as you can still control the things that happen in your own life. But unfortunately, that seems to be fleeting too anymore.
But just be sure to pay your taxes and pay off your student debt. Just to bring this full circle and to get really depressed now.
There it is, Lee Rogers. Fun working with you this morning. Looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. And if you haven't heard, yesterday, pretty big meeting between Benjamin Netanyahu and President Donald Trump. We'll have an update to that coming up. And a little bit later this hour, someone that has been in the gas and oil industry, Jay Young, is going to join us. So where are gas prices and energy prices going in the new year? He'll have a pretty good prediction. I think you'll like it. Coming up on WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Something happened yesterday between President Donald Trump and Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, that he came with a gift. He awarded Trump the Israel Prize. It's the nation's highest cultural honor, and said they've been giving it out almost 80 years. They've never awarded it to a non-Israeli. Part of this is Donald Trump stepping in and helping facilitate peace in that region, the ceasefire, and hopefully a long-term plan to follow. These are all good things. There's a lot of things that have to fall into place. Iran, by the way, facilitating terrorists trying to kill Jews with their main motive of doing that until the day they die is going to be a tough, tough thing to try to break, because you can come up with a peace deal, but what are you going to do when someone that truly has that sort of hate acts on their own, these sort of sleeper cells, per se. But nonetheless, even having something down is a huge, huge accomplishment. So yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu was at Mar-a-Lago, and afterwards, I think this is the part of the speech that happened afterwards. Yes, there was part where the press got a quick little brief look in before the meeting, and then there was a press conference after. This is Donald Trump talking about their discussions.
You know, as I said outside, he's been a wartime prime minister, and we were, well, I guess I could say I was a wartime president in more places than just Israel, if you think about it. But Israel was a big factor, and we're with you, and we'll continue to be with you. And a lot of good things are happening in the Middle East. We have peace in the Middle East, and we're going to try and keep it that way. I think we will be very successful in keeping it that way. And you've been a great friend, and I've been a great friend to you and to Israel, and it's been my honor. And the award that I was given was really surprising and very much appreciated.
Yep. Okay, so that wasn't the only thing they talked about. They talked about some of these other conflicts, as the press had a question or two about a few things that have been bubbling over. So here's a few things that are also going on. So outside of Israel and Gaza, you have Russia and Ukraine. That's a big one. You have Venezuela. That's a big one. You have China. What's up with them? That's a big one. Of course, Iran. That's a big one. That's big things. There's a lot going on. So there's a lot that the press wanted to talk about. Let's start with Iran. Okay, so here's them asking about that.
So we do another operation of Israel in Iran. You said before the meeting with Netanyahu that you are in support of Israel if the ballistic missile project will take on and also the nuclear weapon. But after the meeting, after what you know from the intelligence, how close are we to another war with Iran?
Well, I don't want to say that, but Iran may be behaving badly. It hasn't been confirmed, but if it's confirmed, look, they know the consequences. You know, consequences will be very powerful, maybe more powerful than the last time. Yeah. And Iran should have made a deal the last time. I gave them the option. I said, you can make a deal. Do it. I told them, do it. And they didn't believe me. Now they believe me.
Do you have evidence that Iran is behaving badly? And what do you mean by that?
This is just what we hear. But usually, where there's smoke, there's fire. Have you heard the expression?
But what do you mean related to the nuclear capability?
Well, no, I'm hearing that they're not nuclear yet, but maybe nuclear too. The sites were obliterated, but they're looking at other sites. That's what I've heard. They're looking. So it'll take a long time.
All right. So let's say Iran, we said, you know what, there's one way to tell that you're not going to be able to put these weapons together. We're just going to bomb your sites. And there was a very effective bombing campaign that went against Iran. And it was successful. I mean, we're talking about these bunker busters that went in there. So are they trying to rebuild? Are they trying to start over again? Does that show you that even if you put a peace deal in place, if your main opposition in that is funding the terrorists that are trying to destroy Israel are continuing with their hatred of Jews, then how are you ever going to find peace if that is their mission in life, their sole mission in life? So they ask more about that when it comes to Iran.
Iranian regime.
I'm not going to talk about overthrow of a regime. They've got a lot of problems that are in. They have tremendous inflation. Their economy is bust. Their economy is no good. And I know that people aren't so happy, but don't forget, every time they have a riot or somebody forms a group, little or big, they start shooting people. You know, they kill people. And the people tend to... I've watched this for years. There's tremendous discontent. They form 100,000, 200,000 people. All of a sudden, people start getting shot. And that group disbands pretty quickly. So I've watched it for years. They're vicious, vicious people, yeah.
Vicious people. I like that he trash-talked them a little. They got lots of inflation. Their economy's junk. Their money's worthless. Their people, vicious. It's a nice little diss track, and he's spitting the truth. Going and talking about China and talking about Maduro and what's going on in Venezuela, that was also addressed.
They've sent billions of dollars of drugs in, but maybe just as bad, they've sent hundreds of thousands of people in from jails, from prisons, from mental institutions and insane asylums. The drug lords, the drug dealers were all sent into our country. But think of it, what he's done. Tren de Aragua, probably the worst gang. They cut off people's fingers. One man made a phone call to complain about them. He cut off their hand. They cut off his hand. Don't ever make a phone call again. We'll cut off your other hand. After that, we'll kill you, they said. That was in Colorado. They sent in all of the bad ones. They sent in some bad people. And that to me was just terrible. And they send in drugs. Now, I will say this, 97% of the drugs coming in by sea stopped. We're trying to figure out who the other 3% are. They have a hard time getting people to pilot those boats.
Yeah, I would say they would have a hard time knowing that the drones that are watching and surveilling you, as soon as you bring those drugs onto the water, you know what's going to happen to you. I would say that would make it a tough job to post up on an Indeed as you're doing your job hunting search. We need someone to pilot this boat. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you're taking drugs from Venezuela to kill Americans. You know, they're going to deliver it. Don't they blow those boats up? Yeah, but the benefits are great. Well, they can't be that great if, you know, the last thing you see is nothing. You're just there and you hear the whistling of a missile coming your way. Where is the energy industry going, by the way? Where's the oil prices? Are they going to continue to remain low? Is gas going to continue to drop? And what if, let's say, energy prices continue to get more affordable? What kind of benefit will that have in the long run? Is 2026 going to be a good year for energy, or is it going to be a terrible year because we keep building these data centers and the energy demands are going to keep growing, rising the cost in so many different small rural communities? You know, I want to ask that to Jay Young. He is someone that's the author of The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. We're going to continue our conversation and start it with him, rather, coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WOR.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
So much of what we do relies on low energy, low gas prices because, you know, we want to get a deal, we want to be able to afford. But what we saw during COVID and some of these other times when transportation costs go up and they're spending more on gas, man, the cost of things seem to skyrocket. Well, Donald Trump's been in office almost a year. Part of it is deregulation, help with that sort of becoming more energy independent. The priority went back into those hands. And what we've seen is oil prices drop, gas prices drop. We're ending the year on a pretty good highs. But what does that mean for 2026? Joining us now is someone that's been in the oil and gas industry, his family, for the past four generations. Jay Young, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so we're ending 2025 on a pretty high note. It seems like people are pleased with the direction prices are going at the pump. What do you think is going to happen in the new year?
That's a really great question. And what I've been saying for a while is, I mean, right now we're seeing prices, you know, in nine states go below $2 a gallon, which Trump has done everything he said, drill, baby, drill. Let's get the supply, oversupply of the markets. OPEC's coming in, they're oversupplying. So oil prices are going down because that's the reason why gasoline prices do go up or down, is because of supply and demand. And right now we're seeing a really, really good, you know, forward. I don't see prices staying down for a long time. And the reason why is because of the supply, the United States supply. We're 20% less rigs in the Permian Basin than we were 2 years ago. So we're not drilling as many wells. And if you're not drilling for oil and gas in the United States, and the wells that are already online, there's two reasons why our production in the United States is going to go down. Number one, mm-hmm. rig count's down. And number two, the wells that are already online decline. Matter of fact, some wells decline 40, 50% the first year, mm-hmm. especially the shale wells, the S-H-A-L-E shale wells, the fracking, you know, Permian Basin. They decline rapidly the first year. So you're going to see a supply go down middle of the summer and into the year. You're going to see our supply go down. And our demand has done nothing but go up. I mean, except for COVID, obviously, that was a different situation. But you've seen the demand for oil continue to go up. George Bush said it years ago in his State of the Union, that we have an addiction to oil. We like to drive our cars. We like for our roads to be nice. You know, there's all different kinds of reasons why we need oil in the United States. And when prices go down, drillers say they put the halt on some of the drilling, not all of it, but they put the halt on some drilling and say our break evens are not as good. We're gonna sit back and not drill as many wells right now. And when we don't sit and drill as many wells, you're gonna see our supply go down.
Okay, so how does do data centers play a part of the demand when you calculate what's going on in 2026? Because a lot of different rural communities, they're worried about these big tech companies buying up farmland. And while the demand for these data centers are great when it comes to water, but energy, of course, they're going to have to find ways to power this. Meaning if you start pulling from the grid and more energy demand comes from those areas, then obviously it's going to drive up demand for everyone else. And they're going to have to pay more for their electricity costs. So is that part of your calculations, these data centers?
Absolutely. 100%, especially for natural gas. Data centers will use a tremendous amount of natural gas. And a lot of times when you drill an oil well, you'll see, like a landman, you see the flares, the gas flares. And a lot of times you're getting the oil out and the oil is 80, 90% of your income, but you do have 10 to 20% of that, so it's natural gas. So you see sometimes they flare it because they can't afford to hook it up to a pipeline yet. They will in the future, but if you have multiple wells, but just one or two is not there, so they flare that gas. So that natural gas is what's going to be another, and I say byproduct, because for King Operating and what we do with our company and our investors is we drill for oil and natural gas. They're both incredibly important for our investors, and both are going to go up. Oil for one reason, natural gas for a second, and you just hit it right on the head right there. You said, hey, what about data centers? Yes, they need natural gas. The demand for natural gas is going to go up. You've seen natural gas prices go from $1, $1.50 to $4 over the last year or two, and it's going to be the same there. So it's very profitable for natural gas at these prices. Our demand continues to go up. We're LNG, which I mean by that is a lot of the natural gas, when you have pipelines that go down to the coast, they go in the coast, they go into ships, containers, they liquefy it, LNG, they send it overseas because there's a lot of countries that need this. Europe was paying $8, $9 for LNG. We're producing it at $2, $3, $4. Well, okay, there's a difference there. We can make some money, or somebody can make some money to liquefy it. So we're seeing a really good, right now I think that with King Operating and what we do, and I wrote in the book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, which I'd love to send, I'll send copies, autographed copies to the people that go on the website and say, hey, I heard you on your station and I'd like to have an autographed copy of my book. I'd love to send the next 10 people a copy of the book. But it talks about, participating in oil and gas projects and what's good and bad. But the big thing is, what's going to happen to you? And when you're driving to Oklahoma and you're up there like I was, my daughter plays volleyball there at Oklahoma, and gasoline's less than $2. And you're like, wow, I haven't seen this in a long time. How much longer is it going to last? And I don't, my thought is supply and demand, it's not going to last for a long time. So, enjoy it now. Go get your lawnmower, take your lawnmower down to the gas station, pump it full of gasoline. I mean, anything you can do right now, enjoy it while you can, because I don't feel like it's going to last a long time. I think next summer, plan that long trip. You may pay a little bit more, but not a lot.
Well, it's interesting how the auto industry plays into all of this. And our guest here is Jay Young. He's a oil and gas expert. By the way, what's your website? Is it kingoperating.com?
Yes, sir. Yeah, kingoperating.com. Yeah.
So when we talk about the way the auto industry is going and these manufacturers, the big three, I'm up in the Detroit area, but I get to do the show here in South Carolina. But there's plants here in South Carolina, of course. So when they project where consumers are going to be spending their money, they realize that these electric vehicles, the consumer demand is just not there. It was artificially inflated because of the incentives that were there. So big companies like Ford, for example, anticipating that there's going to be big announcements with their electric trucks, that people are just not buying it. So when you have the news that oil prices are lower, gas prices are lower, it makes it look a lot more better of an option for the combustion engine. So auto companies are moving in that direction. They're kind of not investing as much as they used to, and they're not losing as much money, I should say, on the electric side. So with the oil prices low, are you going to continue to, you think perhaps the auto industry is going to see a big boost from this as they reinvest back in their combustion engines?
I do. Definitely do. Yeah. I mean, Tesla was taking over. They were like 8% of all car sales a few years ago. And we were going totally battery. I mean, it was just all over. California was saying that by 2030, every vehicle, I mean, it was just crazy during the Biden administration. But it sounded good. But there were so many more problems with batteries and what do you do with the batteries once they're gone and all this other. And it wasn't as easy. And it's very expensive to drive a Tesla. I mean, to buy one, you can't finance it. You got to pay cash. California said, okay, we're not going to allow you to have any more tax benefits or tax breaks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's slumped to like 2-3% of car sales right now is battery operated cars. Ford said, hey, we lost $50 billion. We're good. We're going to take the loss and move on. So what that tells you, a lot right there, that they just say, hey, you know what? It sounded good. And under Biden, it sounded good, but we're just going to stay here and go ahead with gasoline. Gasoline is so much better. It's not terrible. I mean, it's like people need to continue to drill. We drill so many wells in Texas and Oklahoma and New Mexico. And if the rest of the country would see that, like California, Colorado, if they'd open up their borders and open up and say, hey, you know what? We want to continue to drill. We wouldn't have this problem. Yep. But we have this problem because there's so many different administrations and laws and everything else. I mean, we've had a project in Colorado for I don't know how many years, and we've been trying in Colorado, and we're just like trying to do whatever we can to drill a well. And it's like, well, you got to go through the county and the city, and by the time you get through everything, they change hats, you know, and they're okay. Well, there's different people in here, and you have to go, and it's like. It's just so tough, but if and we're not going to see that anytime soon. So we're going to see, prices continue. All about supply and demand. Our supply is going to go down next year because of rig count is down, wells decline, and OPEC's not going to step in. OPEC's going to step in and go, all right, where's my money? Because oil prices are going to go to $70, $80, $90 a barrel. They're going to get their money because that's what they do. They don't drive prices down just to drive prices down and not make as much money. Yeah. They drive prices down because of kicking people out of the shell industry and saying, okay, now here we go. Let's enjoy some market share and then we'll come back and we'll make more money in the future. So there's reasons behind OPEC, supplying the markets.
Well, enjoy the low prices while they last. Plan that road trip next summer and visit the website kingoperating.com. Oil and gas expert Jay Young, his book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. And I will say that there's tax breaks that end tomorrow for some investors. So some of you people out there go, oh, hey, I got to get my taxes in. We'd love to accommodate you. We're set up for it. But other than that, if you want to look at it next year, we love you and love South Carolina. You guys have a great happy new year and look forward to next year. Call me next month and let's stay in touch.
Let's do it. You as well. Jay Young, our guest on WORD. Don't go anywhere. So plan that road trip is what our last guest said. I'm happy to figure something out for the future, even though I am a homebody. I prefer to stay home when I have time off, and the time off doesn't happen all that often, few and far between in some ways. But it does feel good to spend the year-enders with you. I get to enjoy all this time as we get close to 2026. And if you wanted to reach me outside of the show, Ryan Recker on Twitter, go follow me on there. That'd be cool if you gave me a follow. Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Only got a couple more minutes, so I wanted to play this. And what we've seen in Minneapolis and those journalists that are going around and pointing out You know, this is all for show. People are collecting this money for these daycares and no services are being rendered. It's a huge government just fraud, and it's been happening for years, and the alarms have been sounded and you did nothing about it. And new footage is so funny. In 2015, apparently they have been reporting this since 2015. This has been going on. Massive daycare fraud, billions of dollars taken from the system. And it shows that parents pretending to drop their kids off for a show and not actually watching the kids. This evidence has just been evident. Now, outside of Minneapolis, and it may be one of the worst in the country, if not the worst, when it comes to this type of fraud, other journalists are starting to pick up and they're saying, you know, I wonder if this is happening in other communities as well. There is one person by the name of Anthony Rubin, and he said, you know what, I'm going to go see if this is happening in Columbus. So he went to go find a daycare, primarily run by Somali immigrants. And you know what? I wonder if they're doing the same thing here. Here's part of his video. Let's find out.
So right now we are in front of the Great Minds Learning Academy. This is one of the many daycare centers, learning centers here in Columbus, Ohio, that are associated with the Somali community. As you know, Nick Shirley put out a bombshell report about all these fraudulent daycare facilities in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So we wanted to come out to Columbus, Ohio and investigate what might be going on in the second largest Somali community in the United States of America. So this place here is the first place we're gonna knock, and we're gonna see if anybody picks up or answers the door. Let's see.
Knock, 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 no answer, no answer, no answer. So just for the sake of time, because I know we don't have a lot, he went to go talk to some people that had a business across the street. He said, you ever seen anyone in this building? They said, no, never. Talk to someone else. You ever seen anyone in here? No. I mean, I've owned this building. I've worked in this building. And over the past years, I've never seen anyone inside of it. Well, that's strange. Well, when you go back and look at the records, they're receiving these benefits. Why is that? And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. And I think we're going to see this investigation continue, rightfully so. Hopefully there's some accountability for it, including the leaders that put up with it. All right, I'll be back again tomorrow morning. Looking forward to spending more time with you. Go ahead and find me online at Ryan Recker. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you soon.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.